but she had an old wood stove, and she used ebony wood in the stove and mesquite wood for the fireplaces, because your ebony wood gave you a better heat, you know, for your stove. And the plantation became such a beautiful place. They had a store building, a school, and all the workmen's houses were well taken care of, you know. And then when the steamship Bessie, which was one of the last boats supplied the Rio Grande, that had been operated for years through, well, Zachary Taylor established them first in order to move his troops up and down the river. And he sold them to Mifflin Kennedy and Richard King, say, when the war was over. And the last one to ply up the river was Bessie, and it was in 1902. And Bessie was the only one that didn't have a whistle. They used a big bell, a beautiful brass bell, weighed 400 pounds. So when she stranded pretty close to near the plantation, well, Mr. Clausen got the bell and put it up in a tower on the plantation. And from then on, we used that to call the men to work at sunup and call them in at sundown. And they worked for 25 cents Mexican money. And everybody lived well because there was plenty of game and everything, you know. And my father, of course, helped them a lot. They killed hogs and cattle and everything. You see, your beef had to be dried. They had junkets, you know. They dried it, and they would protect it by putting mosquito bars over it to keep the flies off of it, you know.
You know, I'm so interested in that kind of house, that house you lived in as a child. Would you sketch on here, because houses have changed so much, like a floor plan of what...
Which one? The adobe house, you mean?
The adobe house that you were born in. And then maybe over here we'll sketch this house and sort of compare them. Would you do that just like just a floor plan?
Well, all I can remember is from my mother's notes that she gave me.
Well, did you live in another house like that longer that you would remember better? Whichever one you remember.
No, that's the one. Of course, I wouldn't remember it because, see, I was born in 1901 and they moved in 1898 and she didn't think she was going to have any babies. So she took Lydia E. Pinkin's compound, and I'm a Lydia E. Pinkin baby. It's going out of business now. Anyway, this house was a long house, see, and it had a thatched roof, and this was the front, you know, right here, facing the river. Mm-hmm. The river wasn't but just maybe, I would say, a quarter of a mile from the house. And then they had a porch over here. A porch made of, they'd use the branches from the trees or palms or whatever they found to make the thatch roof. A good bit of things that they used, I don't know whether you know what cattails are. They grow in the bar pits of canals, you know, and they would interwind that and make a porch. And over here they'd have a porch, you see. And then, of course, they had windows and entrances. They had, I remember that my mother described a large door here, you know, to the porch entrance. And then they had spacious windows, and on each side, they were usually opposite each other, you know, in here, the windows like this. And of course, there were, in a row, there were four bedrooms, see. We'd say that there were, two bedrooms on this side and two over here. And there was always a hallway for ventilation to bring the breeze down the hall, see, to make these rooms cooler. And there were doors here, and here were two more bedrooms, four bedrooms, see. And then off here to this part was your large dining room, see, the dining area here. And then this was the kitchen, see, right in here. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, in the kitchen, they always had an old-fashioned pantry, you know, a pantry there. And these were all windows. Every room had a window, see. Like this, and over here too, and then we have two bedrooms there, and two bedrooms here. Well, out here there was another portico, you might say, another porch or portico, we'd call it,